and thirst for righteousness, oh God. Church, you may be seated. I'm going to take just a minute. Take just a minute. Searching really hard for we used to sing a song many, many years ago. I'll see if I can find it. Jesus, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, in your living word. There we go. Yeah. Leroy Hawkins. And Robin Hawkins, God. Oh, Lord, bless them. Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. If you don't know where Genesis is, go to the very front of your Bible. You'll find it really quickly. It's okay if you don't know. It's not a bad thing not to know. It's a better thing to learn. It's possible. Genesis chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Lord, we thank you for the garden, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the place you originally created for man to be. And Lord, as we enter into this message, into this moment, God, I believe that there are lessons that we can learn in the garden, from the garden, Lord. And I pray that as we continue into this series for the next few weeks about the garden, Lord God, that you will grow things within us, thoughts within us, ideas within us, hearts and minds within us, that repentance will grow within us, that righteousness will grow within us, that our desire will truly be for you, and that desire will grow within us. God, that we would cultivate it. Father, I pray for anointing, Lord. Lord God, I pray for anointing upon this church and those that are here today to hear and to see. Those that will hear this message later to hear and to see. Oh God, that they would be anointed to receive this word. And that they would truly be good, fertile soil, fresh plowed, ready for the seed of your word to be planted. To produce a harvest, God. Oh, this world is the harvest ready, Lord God. Father, that we would take part in that harvest, Lord. Let the anointing flow. Lord, that I would be anointed, your anointed vessel today to speak this word, to deliver it, to share it. God, how you've put it on my heart to put the right emphasis in the right place, but to also be willing to change and to go different directions as your Spirit leads, Lord. That I would be anointed to hear from your Spirit in this moment. And Lord, that I would not be selfish. Lord, I pray for Brian Abraham, Matt Cook, Aaron Cole, Rusty Rhodes, Lord, that they would be anointed this morning to lead their church where you've called them. That your Spirit would move, Lord. Oh God, let the church rise up to be your church, to save and seek the lost. The least, the last, and the lost, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, and be with our nursery workers this morning. They need your anointing too. Oh, Lord, let your Spirit fall in that room as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Next few weeks, we're going to look at a series called Garden Tips. That's why next week's going to be called Cultivating Pentecost on Pentecost Sunday. I read this word, and I've been thinking about the garden for a little bit. And if I had been smart and doing my job properly, I would have texted Robert and told him that we were going to be talking about the garden. Not that it would have changed his worship set, and not that it needed changed, but I should be doing that, and I'm not doing a great job of it always, and I'm trying to be better, but it's a long week. I apologize. But I think there's a lot to learn in the garden. I don't know if you've ever worked a garden before. There's a lot to be learned in the garden. So much to be learned in the garden. As a kid, when the time that I lived with my dad, or when I would go see my dad had a garden, always had a garden. And he lived right across the road from his mom, and his mom had a garden, my grandma, Grandma Glee. What a name. Eupha Glee was my grandmother's name. Yeah, it's a good thing I didn't have a girl. Eupha Glee. My other grandma was Willie Ruth. Yeah. That's why the Lord didn't give me girls. Lord, Lord. But grandma had a garden. And then in the back pasture where behind grandma's house was the big garden. The big garden. When I say the big garden, it was a big garden. At least when I was a kid, it was gigantic. It was like 40 acres when I was a kid. It probably wasn't but an acre or two. But when I was a kid, it felt huge. And I'm going to be really honest with you. I didn't like the garden. I didn't like it. Because the garden was work. Like, the garden meant sweat. The garden meant dirt. The garden meant, hey, move faster. The garden meant a lot of things that as a kid, I didn't care for. I didn't want to go to the garden. Like, those days, I wanted to have a cough due to cold. Like, I didn't want to go to the garden. Hey, guys, tomorrow we're going to the garden. I feel sick right now. Like, I'm already trying to set it up, you know, trying to figure out how I can get out of going to the garden. I pulled my hamstring. I don't know, something. I got to find some way to get out of going to the garden. I hated going to the garden. It was just work. Now, I got to admit, fresh garden food's really good. I made the mistake a few years ago of probably reintroducing my wife, because I'm sure she had had it before, but I reintroduced her to fresh corn. Like garden fresh corn. It's a problem now. It was not a smart idea. Every year I have a friend down in Davenport. The FFA down there does a fundraiser where they sell corn by the bushel, right? It's a fundraiser. They bring it from Rush Springs, and every year we're at least one or a two bushel family. Like, there's usually, it comes to my house, and I think there was one year, poor Patty, I think we were on vacation or something when it came in, so Patty had to deal with the corn. She reminds me every year, like, I ain't doing that. I'll help pay for it, but I ain't putting the corn up. But it's just so good. I mean, it's worth it to me to have good fresh corn. I love a garden now. In fact, as an adult, when we lived here in town, I even planted a garden. And man, it was just something about it. Something about being down on your hands and knees and with your hands in the dirt and working the soil, and just something about it. And then when you actually started to harvest what you grew, like, not only those aren't just potatoes, those are my potatoes. Like, that's what I grew, right? There's so much to be learned in the garden, and I think we underestimate what we can learn in the garden. And for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the garden, and we're going to talk about what we can learn from the garden. The garden was originally a blessed place. I mean, it was a place that was literally made for man. It was literally a place that God created and placed the man. It was supposed to be a blessing for them. And I think the more I think about it, maybe it's because I'm getting older and I like fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. And, you know, somebody says, hey, I'm going to bring you some fresh green beans. Oh, man, I'm in. Well, I'll meet you wherever, right? Fresh corn, fresh green beans. Ooh, Lord, fresh, I'm just trying to think, fresh carrots. Not cooked carrots. Cooked carrots, oh, no. Potatoes. Stop it with the tomatoes. Y'all know how I feel about tomatoes. Y'all know. Those were in the garden. I believe those were in the garden. I believe it. That's the fruit that Eve ate. Not that. Nope. Tomatoes were the fruit that Eve ate. I'm sure of it. Brought all that sin on all of us. I found this verse in Genesis after I read how God created the garden and then placed man in the garden for him to live and to be. I found this verse in verse 15, and it was a verse that I know I've read it, but there was something about it this time when I read it. It just kind of, it's like, oh, wow. I guess I overlooked it. It says, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. See, he didn't just place the man in the garden and say, hey, the garden's just always going to be the garden. You're never going to have to weed. You're not going to have to mow. You're not going to have to pick fruits and vegetables. You're never going to have to work for any of it. He said, it's yours and you're blessed. It's a blessed place for you, but you're going to have to work to keep it blessed. So often, we underestimate the fact that God wants us to keep the blessings that he gives us. But they're given to us, and we have to cultivate them. We have to help them grow. We have to help them produce. We have a part to play, even though they're a blessing. To cultivate means, it's defined as to foster the growth of. So Adam was given the garden, but he was given also the responsibility to foster the growth of the garden. Those trees weren't going to just produce if they weren't cared for, if they weren't taken care of. The gardens, the vegetables weren't going to produce if they weren't cared for. None of the things, the blessings from the garden were going to happen if Adam did not cultivate them. And I believe as believers, as Christians, that we are called to cultivate. We are called to be cultivators because we should be fostering the growth of others. The church is called to foster the growth of the believers. I've been thinking about Robert's message all week. I don't know if any of y'all thought about it all week, but I thought about it all week because the Lord had been impressing it upon me before he even spoke it. And then when he spoke it last week, it was just like further impressed upon me. And we have to, as the church, be cultivating the things of the Lord for others. We have to help people mature and grow and get beyond the spiritual milk and get to the heavier, better foods. I think that we need to be helping others get to and be introduced to the steak of the word. I'm just saying. I mean, come on now. Who doesn't love a good steak? Lord. What is time? Lunch? Okay, it's not lunchtime yet. Who doesn't love a good, healthy steak or a good, well-marinated piece of chicken or like who doesn't? I think there is so much to this word that you can study it your entire life and still not get all of it. Like it is so deep and so wide and so thick and so true and so powerful. You can study your whole life and not get all of it. And I think that as the church, we are called to cultivate the growth of others. You guys have been hearing me for the last few weeks talk about, I want to see this happen. I want to see this happen. I want to see this happen. I am honestly, constantly trying to figure out what we can do, what I can do to help cultivate more growth, spiritual growth in the church. Because I think we need more spiritual growth in the church. We have got to know this word better, to know better how it applies to our life. Because there are people that their whole, it's almost like their whole goal in life is to tear this word apart and prove how it's wrong, false, untrue, unpowerful, unspiritual, how it doesn't matter. Like they are trying so desperately. I saw a clip the other day of a guy who had a Bible and he had all of these post-it notes in the Bible of what he called inaccuracies in the Bible. I wonder if he had put as much work into reading the Bible to study it, if he could have maybe found more right than he felt like he found wrong. But he was so focused on finding things that were wrong. I'm sure one of those post-it notes was the floating accent. I'm sure it was. Because it doesn't make any sense. Axe heads don't float unless they're on styrofoam. Unless they're in a boat. I don't know. But they just aren't supposed to float. Did it happen? My Bible says it happened. I'm going to go with my Bible because it was written by a guy who saw it happen. So I'm going to go with him. I think eyewitness testimony is more powerful than some dude 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later going, that's not possible. I just believe my God is that powerful and strong that if he wanted to make an axe head float, he could make an axe head float. I talked to my dad recently, and we were talking about the garden, about his garden, grandma's garden, grandma's garden. And then we got to talking about, it was around the time that we were having all the storms, and we got to talking about the storms and my grandma's cellar, because my grandma had a cellar that I believe her daddy built, and it wasn't big, and it was honestly a little scary. Like, it was an old-time cellar. And especially my stepmom was kind of a big fraidy cat. Every time storms would come, she's ready for the cellar, right? She's ready for the cellar, right? But then my dad and even my brother reminded me about the good part of going to grandma's cellar. Grandma canned. So if you went to cellar, you grabbed a fork before you went to the cellar. Because grandma's vegetables were canned in the cellar. And you could pop open a can of green beans and you could eat while the storm's going. She made sauerkraut. I'm not down for the sauerkraut, but other people were. And she made pickles and all this stuff. Like, if you were going to the cellar, you were going to enjoy yourself while you were in the cellar. We sometimes, probably too often, forget the responsibility of the blessing. Maybe you've been blessed with a car, but you know, a car comes with a lot of responsibilities. It comes with oil changes and tire rotations and new tires, and it comes with new windshield wipers. You got to put gas in the thing. You got to wash it occasionally. There are responsibilities that come with the car, though the car is a blessing. But if you don't take care of it, you will find yourself stranded somewhere. Curtis was talking this morning, and Seth were talking this morning about being in Las Vegas and breaking down in Las Vegas in the 120 degree heat, having to replace the brakes on a car in a parking lot in Las Vegas. And that just sounds miserable, right? And I'm not saying they did poor maintenance. I'm not saying that. Curtis didn't hear to hear that. But I'm just saying, when you don't take care of those things, those blessings, though they've been given to you and provided by God, you have a responsibility to take care of them. Just like your relationship with the Lord, you have to cultivate that relationship. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't just, like there was a kid at camp that had a pillow, and the pillow was shaped like an open Bible, right? That's cool and all, but he's not more spiritual, I promise you. I spent 4 days with a kid. It wasn't just soaking into his brain by sleeping on it. The blessing is we get salvation, that we have a relationship with him, but we have to cultivate it, because if you don't cultivate it, it's not going to grow. If you are responsible for the cultivation of your relationship with him. And that goes not just for your spiritual relationship. That goes for your marriage. That goes for your relationship with your kids, with your parents, with your friends, your job. Everything that you are blessed with, you are responsible for cultivating that. You cannot ignore it and expect it to grow. It might grow, but it might grow the wrong way. It might grow wild. It might grow in a way that you don't realize or understand. It might grow differently than it should. We don't have our kids and then just go, okay, had them, good luck.
Be blessed. Figure it out. Call me sometime. And then if you get to that place where you have a don't have a relationship with your kid, you go, you just go, what happened? You weren't cultivating that relationship. I'll never forget my aunt. One time at a family event, I had an aunt that my brother and I were raised, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. We were raised that way, okay? It happens. People say, you don't have to say that to me. I don't even realize I'm doing it. It's why I was taught, right? And I remember being at this function, and my brother and I are standing there. We're talking to my aunt, my uncle, and my dad, and my brother and I are both, or yes ma'am, no ma'am, you know, all these things. And my aunt, whose children are older than my brother and I by quite a bit, said, boy, I sure wish you could teach my sons how to do that. And I thought, it's kind of late now. They're grown men. They have their own families. It's too late to teach them that. That had to be cultivated when they're young. You had to start that when they're young, right? It's too often we're not concerned with what we're cultivating until we've ignored it to a point that it's not growing healthily. Like it happens in the church when the church is ignored too long. It gets to a place where it's out there. It's gone crazy. It's not growing. It's not healthy. It's not spiritually growing. We have to be aware of those things. Untended blessings will not remain blessings. If they are not cared for and not tended to, they will not stay healthy. They will not stay blessed. Without water, your garden will die. Without weeding, your crops will die. Without being cared for, everything will die. A garden is an amazing teacher. It teaches us the importance of water. It teaches us the importance of pulling weeds. Spiritually, weeds can mean different things. But a garden also teaches us the importance of fertilizer. For the good and for the bad. Sometimes good fertilizer helps things grow. Too much fertilizer will kill them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. You are not going to be fed spiritually if you're not participating in the feeding. If you're not participating in what's happening of being fed. If you're not participating in the growth, you're not going to be fed. Too many times, I have heard people and probably even been the one to say these words that I just have grown to, really honest, to absolutely despise. Well, I just wasn't being fed there. Well, I left there because I just wasn't being fed. I'm sorry. Do you not know how to hold a fork? I mean, obviously I know how to hold a fork. But I think to myself sometimes we have put all of the onus of feeding on the people above us instead of thinking about what we are doing to help feed ourselves. If you won't work, then you won't eat. If you're not going to participate in feeding yourself and making sure that what you need to be fed is there, you're not going to grow, you're not going to be fed, you're not going to be nourished, and it's just not going to happen. A yes, somebody else can also help feed you, 100%. But you have to take some responsibility yourself. You want to spiritually grow.
You have to put the effort and the work in to spiritually grow. If you're not sitting there, or if you are just sitting there going, well, I'll go to church and that'll be my word for the week. I want to see how deep your spiritual life is growing. How strong it is. If it's a once a week thing, I'm sorry, you're probably not growing a whole lot. Especially with this pastor. Like, it's just, you have got to take responsibility of it yourself. Just, Adam was placed in the garden, but God didn't say, okay, I'm going to do everything for you the rest of your life when I place you in the garden. He said, here's the garden, but you got to cultivate it. Yes, it's to bless you, and yes, it's to provide for you, and yes, it's to give you everything that you need. But if you don't cultivate it, if you don't care for it, if you don't take care of it, it is not going to stay the blessing that it was designed to be. If you want to grow, you have to cultivate. It takes work. It takes blood, sweat, and tears sometimes. I'm so grateful that my family didn't grow cotton. Oh, Lord. I don't know if you've ever seen cotton or tried to pick cotton, but like cut up your hands and just like terrible, terrible. I can't imagine having to do that every day. And I know some of my family has, but no thank you. No thank you. I don't know if you've ever picked a rose or cut a rose off a rose bush. Chances are you got a thorn in there. I just know that we have got to take the responsibility if we want to grow spiritually. Yes, as senior pastor, I have some responsibility in helping you grow spiritually, and I accept the responsibility. But I will not solely take responsibility for your spiritual growth or anyone else's spiritual growth. I can't. I can't take you and force feed you. I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to. We have to take the responsibility ourselves for helping ourselves grow. Cultivating is such an important part that I think we have overlooked in our spiritual walk. We are responsible for helping us ourselves grow spiritually. I believe God's plan has always included work on the part of the believer. If you don't think it takes work to believe, I'm not sure how many hard things you've ever been through. Because some days it takes real work and real effort to continue to believe. When you're watching some family member or someone that you love or know or care about go through difficult things that just you just cannot make sense. Like, one of the hardest things in the world is to understand from a spiritual standpoint is children with cancer. I just cannot wrap my mind around it, how that can be a thing that little ones can ever have to go through that. It's so difficult. It does not help us grow spiritually. But I can promise you that when I read his word and it says that he works everything for the good of those that love him, that I have seen it happen time and time again. I just know that we have to cultivate our own faith and our own belief. We have to take responsibility for what we want to see grow. If we want to grow closer to him, we have to take responsibility and help foster that growth and to help that growth continue to happen. It's not all on the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the worship leader. It is on all of us individually, along with those other people. I'm grateful for the way that the spiritual way that Brother Robert prays about and thinks about and works on our worship sets every week.
And I'm grateful for those that work in the nursery, how they are planning lessons for our little ones, because they have to be cultivated as well. And when we, Lord willing, have a building and we have kids' church again, where our kids are being cultivated, I need someone. I desperately want someone to come in to help cultivate our youth group. I desperately want someone to come in and help cultivate that youth group, to help them to grow. They're tired of me, man. They're over me. Or maybe I'm over them. It's fine. One way or the other. The Garden of Gethsemane is just an amazing moment with Jesus. Verses 39 to 44 of Luke 22 says that he came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray. Verse 42, Jesus saying, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. In verse 44, "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." And maybe you don't see it, but that was cultivation. Because Jesus was using every ounce of him, praying not just for him, praying that he would be able to endure what was about to happen, because he believed that it was going to cultivate the opportunity for you and me and everyone in this world to have a pathway to the Savior, to have a pathway to adoption, that you and I, though not Jews, could be grafted into the family of God. Jesus was cultivating it in the garden. He was cultivating that moment and using drops of blood, sweat that looked like drops of blood, to water that he was planting in the garden. Don't ever think it didn't cost him anything. Don't ever think he didn't work for it. He worked for you and I to have a relationship. He cultivated it in the garden. And it was a powerful moment. And yes, there's that moment where he's like, "Lord, let this cup pass from me." He knew how hard it was going to be. But then he turns and he says, "Not my will, God, but yours be done." We have got to be willing to do the hard parts to cultivate the relationship for those after us. If this church, if any church, is going to have a legacy, it's cultivated by those that are there today. It's cultivated by us, by our giving, by our serving, by our attendance, by our participation in cultivating this church, any church, wherever we go. Barbara's moving to Wyoming soon, and we just prayed that she's going to find a church in Wyoming, and she's going to help cultivate the Spirit of God in that church. Your presence here is to help cultivate the Spirit of God and the move of God and the Word of God and the power of God in this place for generations to come. I want Trenton and Alex and Asen and Liam, oh Lord, and Finley and Ezekiel and Casey and Rebel and Keithan and Dexter and Hayden and Seth and Jay. Oh God, I want every one of them to have a church that was cultivated today to be a church for tomorrow. We have got to do our part. We have got to work in the garden. We have got to put the effort forth in the garden to see all of what we want to see grow. I don't know what it is that you want to see grow. I don't know what it is that you want to see grow in yourself, in your family, in your marriage, in your job. I don't know what it is that you want to see grow. But take hold of the responsibility to cultivate it. Take hold of it today and say that we need to say, okay, Lord, how can I cultivate what I want to see? How can I cultivate right now today what I want to see happen in my life, in my marriage, in my kids, in my church, in my job, in my extended family? Jesus' bloodshed began in the garden. Jesus was cultivating his own sacrifice. He was there for it to grow so that he could sacrifice himself for us to cultivate the church that was to come. I want to pray right now. And I don't know what you want to cultivate. I don't know what this message has meant to you. I don't know what the Lord is speaking to you or the Spirit is speaking to you about what you need to cultivate or what you want to cultivate. But I'm going to pray and I'm going to encourage you. Maybe we need to cultivate silence in the nursery. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want silence in the nursery. A silent nursery is an empty nursery. I want a full nursery. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, I pray right now, Lord. Lord, I think that there are, I believe, Lord, I believe that there are things that you are putting on our hearts, on our thoughts, on our minds, that we know we want to cultivate some things. We want to cultivate a stronger marriage. We want to cultivate blessed kids. We want to cultivate kids that know you and love you. We want to cultivate, oh, Lord, your Spirit in this place. We want to cultivate, oh, Lord, your love around this world. God, we want to cultivate. We want to cause those things, that Spirit, to be contagious and to be cultivated and grown all around this world, on this campus, Lord God. I pray that you help Mars and you help Jason and you help Brandon and any of the members of Chi Alpha. Help to cultivate a move of the Spirit of God on this campus, Lord God. That our kids would cultivate a move of the Spirit in their schools, God. And that we could cultivate a move of the Spirit even within our families and extended families, Lord. Oh, Lord, that we would take the responsibility today for the cultivation of what we want to see grow. That, Father, you encourage us. Let us not be afraid to shed a little sweat. Let us not be afraid to put forth a little effort in the cultivation of what you've called us to do and to be. Inspire us, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Oh, Father, that you would help us. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, that we would continue to be your anointed and your called and your chosen and your blessed, God. That as we leave, God, we're blessed. As we come back, we're blessed. In the city, we're blessed. In the country, we're blessed. That we're cultivators, Lord. Oh, of your Spirit, of your Word, power, and of your amazing love. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.